Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. My name is Mark Shiver. I certainly hope that it stopped raining wherever you are. Boy, what a last few days here in the capital city. But we needed the rain, so we're glad about that. And we appreciate yesterday's guest, Dr. Charles Sykes from the Optometric Society. And want to remind you, you know, about this bill. You've got optometrists and ophthalmologists on different sides of House Bill 36. And you can go to freedomactionnetwork.com and you can listen to both sides of the issue. If you would like to know how the ophthalmologists feel, you can listen to our episode on Wednesday, April the 19th. We spoke with Dr. Sarah Stoneburner. She represents the ophthalmologists. And then, of course, yesterday's interview with Dr. Charles Sykes, past president of the North Carolina Optometric Society. So you can be informed with one click, freedomactionnetwork.com. Today, very excited that our guest is going to be Representative Nelson Dollar. And he's a busy guy. I mean, real busy. He's not only busy with his own, you know, legislation that he has filed and bills that he's trying to get navigated through the General Assembly, but he's also the chief budget writer in the House. And so he's not sitting on his hands. He's been meeting with the Senate while they go through their process. And the idea hopefully is going to be that when the Senate rolls out their budget, it's not going to catch everybody off guard in the House, and they'll be able to, you know, move right ahead with theirs and hopefully not take very long in getting their differences worked out and a budget passed for the state. So I'm looking forward to talking with Representative Dollar. Some of the things we're going to ask him about is victims' rights legislation that he would like to see passed. Also, a bill that did pass the House overwhelmingly, where you as a taxpayer will have the opportunity to make a donation from part of your tax refund, if you like, not mandatory, but if you like, into a fund that would go for breast cancer and cervical cancer research, and lots of other things that Representative Dollar is involved with, like Medicaid. Always got to ask him about that. So, without any further ado, let's talk to Representative Nelson Dollar here on What Matters in North Carolina. It's always a pleasure to welcome back to What Matters in North Carolina, Representative Nelson Dollar. He is chief budget writer in the North Carolina House of Representatives and a very busy time of year in the long session. Representative Dollar, thank you for taking time to join us.
Well, Mark, it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, you've got a lot going on, and the budget hasn't even come over to you guys yet, so I can't imagine how busy you're going to be in a month or so. But wanted to ask you about a couple of things that you do have going on. First of all, I noticed that you had put forward a victim's rights piece of legislation. Can you tell us about that and why you felt like that was important?
Oh, sure, Mark. In North Carolina, we do have some strong constitutional provisions that do support victims. However, as we've been looking at those and analyzing those, we believe there's more that we can do to really ensure that victims are able to participate in the process, that they're fully informed when people are have been apprehended, who committed these crimes or may have committed these crimes, just making sure that victims are fully allowed to be fully engaged in the process.
Now, I did notice that that was, and I think this is starting to become routine, but it was sent to rules. Do you think it will be one that is heard here as we approach crossover, or is there some financial piece to this that'll keep it exempt from that, or... Actually, it's an amendment to the Constitution, so you really don't have to worry about crossover then.
We believe that the constitutional amendments are going to be allowed to move beyond the time for crossover, but we're actually trying to get some clarity on that. The bill being in rules is actually fine because many of the constitutional amendments occasionally will come out of rules as well as Judiciary One Committee. So we're working on all of those things, but principally we have been trying to work with district attorneys and some others to make sure that we're crafting this proposed constitutional change in a way that hopefully we can get all of the major groups fully on board.
Now, Representative Dollar, what prompted you to decide that this piece of legislation was important? I know you weren't just driving down the road one day and come to your mind, well, I think we need a victims' rights bill. Were you hearing from folks who felt like this was important?
Yes, been hearing from a number of people, and then there's also been Marcy's Law, which is a national organization, has been working with a number of states to strengthen victims' rights within the individual states. And so both locally organic concerns in terms of victims' rights and being able to strengthen those, as well as part of the national movement. But, you know, interestingly, a couple of our prime sponsors have themselves had to go through their interactions with the courts as victims and or the families of victims, and that gave a lot of motivation as well.
Well, I was looking at the bill here online, and you've got about half the House signed on, so there seems to be quite a bit of support for this bill.
Well, I think so. I think there's broad bipartisan support for the legislation. As you say, we got close to we had a goal of 80 sponsors out of 120. We got close to that, and we feel that, you know, that House members are certainly expressing very strongly their interest in this legislation.
Well, moving on, Representative Dollar, to something that is also very important to folks who either have worked for North Carolina or are working for North Carolina, House Bill 651, State Pension Retirement Health Benefit Fund Solvency. It says a bill to be entitled an act to establish the unfunded liability solvency reserve. Now, in maybe more simple terms, can you explain what that is?
Well, the simple term for it is there's a long-term liability for the pension fund as well as the state health plan fund and or cost, rather. But certainly with regard to the pension fund, which this bill deals with, this is an effort that is being spearheaded by the State Treasurer Falwell, to begin to address and to be able to show really the bond rating houses that North Carolina is serious about its long-term indebtedness. And this bill provides some modest mechanisms to begin the process of addressing in a formal way that long-term liability. And we believe that this is critical, not only long-term, trying to put a mechanism in place to begin addressing that issue in the out years for future generations so that we don't stick somebody down the road with a bill. But it also helps us more immediately with, again, making sure that North Carolina retains its AAA bond rating.
Well, I know that this is something, as you said, that Treasurer Falwell has been talking about quite a bit. And for those that don't understand, basically the amount of money that the state is liable for at any one moment should everyone's retirement or health benefits become due is a staggering figure. Now, the likelihood of that happening is not very realistic. However, if some money is not set aside, then that number just continues to grow and grow. I remember talking about unfunded liabilities back in 2006, 2007, not only in North Carolina, but nationally. This is something that is very much a concern. And so, if I understand you correctly, this fund would begin to set aside money to meet those liabilities.
That's right, Mark. And, of course, you know, with the pension fund, it's going to be funded in the out years. I think the major concern is we've been looking at returns, you know, back in the 80s and 90s. You know, the interest rate numbers were high, inflation was up, return on investment, you know, those numbers back in those days, and that those economies, it's very different from where we are the last 10, 15 years. And the Treasury is concerned about the long-term rate of return on our investments, being able to meet that 7.25% return on investment, because we also have to be concerned about the safety of those investments and how much risk the state is engaging in, because we're talking about people's pensions. So, the federal accounting rules have changed. It's put more emphasis on long-term liability.
Right.
So this is an effort for this bill to begin addressing that long-term issue.
You know, it's tough to get lawmakers, whether they be Democrat or Republican, to appropriate money for something that doesn't seem urgent. And now I know that being in the majority, the Republicans have taken and made diligent effort to put money aside for the rainy day fund. And I think that, you know, Hurricane Matthew kind of really put some reality to the words rainy day fund. But do you think there's going to be the needed sense of urgency to support a bill like this and to get lawmakers to say, yeah, we need to put money aside for this?
I believe it will. I think there's two things going on. This particular piece of legislation starts out in a very modest way in terms of how much money we're talking about beginning to set aside. It's more setting up the structure and setting up the principle. But I also believe that what you've seen with the Republican majority is a strong commitment to looking at the long-term interests of the state and not simply looking at what is, you know, popular short-term.
Right.
And that has really been probably the most fundamental sea change that we've really had, frankly, between when the Democrats controlled the General Assembly and with the Republican control now going into our seventh year, is that we've got a caucus that's willing in the Senate and the House to look at the long term, plan for the long term, and be able to have the discipline to carry that through.
Our guest is Representative Nelson Dollar from the North Carolina House of Representatives, taking time from what is an extremely busy week, and we appreciate that, Representative Dollar. Now, another bill that has passed the House that you filed, House Bill 164, would allow for taxpayers simply to allow part of, or as much as they want, all of, if they wanted to, I guess, their tax refund to be checked off as a donation for cancer screening. Now, this bill passed overwhelmingly, 111-4, and I'm not sure about why somebody would vote against that, but I won't get into that. But what prompted you to file this bill?
This is an issue that I've worked on for the last decade, and we ran the bill before. It came very close to ultimate passage about 5 or 6 years ago, and then, you know, decided to kind of let it lie for a little while and work on some other issues. But I've come back to it because I really do believe that this is an opportunity to do two things. One, it generates money that goes directly into the state's BSIP program, which is Breast and Cervical Cancer Control Program.
Okay.
And that does screening. So 100% of the funds that someone voluntarily would donate from their tax return, from their refund, rather, on their tax return, would go toward screenings. And so for every $255, you would have another person screened. And the important thing is that particularly for working women, women who don't have insurance and do not have Medicaid, so we're talking about roughly 300,000 or so working women in the state, this is the gateway into, if they have the unfortunate situation of having breast cancer detected, they can actually access federal treatment dollars to treat that breast cancer. And as most people know, with breast cancer, it's all about early detection. If you detect it early, 3 out of 4 people will survive long term. when it's detected late, 3 out of 4 women will die within a very fairly short period of time. So it's really, it's a life-saving way, and it's also a good way to continue to raise awareness.
Well, as someone who is going through that in my family right now, I certainly appreciate your thoughtfulness in putting this bill forward, and hopefully the Senate will also hear the bill and pass it, and it can become law so that people can have an opportunity to make that donation part of their tax refund if they would like. Now, there's so much to talk to you about. I'm trying to pick and choose here, but expanding Medicaid, Representative Dollar, has been something that we keep hearing year after year after year, primarily because of Obamacare. When it hit, North Carolina has resisted that, I think for good reason, believing that the federal government is going to keep their promise to pay for Medicaid expansion long into the future, I think is somewhat questionable. But Republican Representative Murphy, who is a doctor, filed a bill that would allow Medicaid expansion in the state. And I was a little surprised by that. But your quote in the News and Observer is saying that the bill is the start of a conversation. Representative Moore, Speaker of the House, says still opposed to expanding Medicaid. Do you have any initial thoughts on this particular topic or this particular bill that you can share?
Sure, and I think the lead sponsor on that is actually Representative Lambeth.
That's right.
And Representative Lambeth has actually been working on this for a long time, looking at other states, looking what was done in Indiana, for example, along with other states, and thinking about what would potentially work in North Carolina to cover some people who are not going to be covered. You know, one of the things that folks are worried about is the potential complete collapse of Obamacare,
right?
Particularly with the exchanges. So you could have some folks that currently have insurance that could end up without insurance because, the Obamacare has been such a failure and it just financially not sustainable. So Representative Lambeth has come up with some ideas that would actually put money in the state's coffers, we believe, to the tune of about $45 million. But it's, again, it's a bill that if people just look at it in terms of expansion of Medicaid, obviously that has a very bad connotation to it and could be really problematic. But I think what Representative Lambeth is trying to do with this bill is something very different that would be pretty unique and would really depend on, I think, the Trump administration having a very different view of Medicaid expansion. You know, in the past, when North Carolina's talked to the Obama administration, the Obama administration refused to consider, work requirements, requirements for folks to have to actually pay and participate in their health insurance. And so it all became a non-starter. The Trump administration is indicating a lot more willingness to work with the states. So, this bill, again, I think it's just the start of a potential conversation, but obviously Representative Lambeth and Representative Murphy and all, I've got a lot of talking to do to caucus members and
yeah.
others before that bill would actually move anywhere.
And finally, Representative Dollar, your thoughts on how the session is going so far. Have you gotten any sense from the Senate when you guys might be able to see what their budget is going to look like? Are you anticipating lengthy delay beyond what we've had so far? I know they were waiting on some of the tax day numbers, which we just had tax day, so hopefully it'll be soon. But how are things going overall, do you think?
I think they're going quite well. I think the Senate and the House are working very well together so far this session. And certainly in terms of the budget, we just wrapped up really a couple of months of meeting on almost a daily basis, working on a lot of preliminary issues with the budget and down into the weeds in the various areas, and having those chairs, whether it's education or health and human services or public safety, general government, all of those folks have been meeting with their counterparts in both chambers. We feel like we've progressed very far. The Senate now is starting their part of the process. They lead this year. So they're working on their part of the process the next few weeks, and then they'll pass the budget to us. We hope to have it conferenced and the budget done in June. That's our goal. Both chambers have adopted that as a goal, to have the budget on time. And we are certainly on track at this stage to do that.
One final thought. I know I just said that, but I've got to ask you about this. As you were talking, I thought, you know, we're hearing some of the school districts, Representative Dollar, complain about, well, House Bill 13, we need the Senate to pass that because it gives us some flexibility with class sizes. My thought, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, but, I mean, they go through their process of budgeting, you know, every year, every 2 years, whatever, as local school districts, before the budget comes out. I mean, that's always the way it is from the state. And so now they're acting like, I've seen headlines where lawmakers refuse to fund class size requirements. And my response to that is, well, the budget's not out yet. How can you say lawmakers are refusing to fund something that, you know, hasn't even been done yet? So, what are your thoughts about this whole conundrum? I know the school people are liking or hoping that the Senate will do something, but is this really an issue that should be carrying as much weight as those on the left seem to be giving it?
Well, you know, Mark, you're absolutely right. The school systems want flexibility, and then at the same time, if they use that flexibility in a way that maybe puts them short in some other area, they immediately want to run and blame the General Assembly. The fact is that the money is there. Now, we felt in the House that we needed to adjust some of the language that we felt would resolve the issue. That bill has been in the Senate. The fact of the matter is the Senate has actually been working on that. The House, we've had some of our members working on it with them. They are actually taking that up this week. We anticipate that coming up Monday for a vote in a Senate committee.
Okay.
A substitute that Senate has for the bill. That, from everything that I'm hearing, should be a very workable solution for the issue. But you're really right. You know, I don't know that we've had a year that any of the superintendents have come out and said, well, we've got enough money. They always want more. And I think what people want, what I hear from my citizens and voters around the state, is they want accountability.
Yeah.
They want to make sure that the funds that we are, the resources, the hard-earned tax money out there, is going to get results in the classroom and going to actually improve student performance. And to me, that's the key metric. How are students doing, and are they making the progress and improvement that they need to make?
Well, I appreciate Representative Dollar, all the work that you are doing, and we know that you are tirelessly working to make North Carolina a better place, a more fiscally responsible place, and we certainly appreciate that. And as always, we appreciate you being our guest here on What Matters in North Carolina. Well, you really need about an hour and a half with Representative Dollar. So much to talk to him about. But I appreciate that he thoughtfully answers every question and does so in a way that makes it understandable, easy to follow. The victims' rights bill that he has out there, the checkoff on your taxes if you would like to contribute to breast and cervical cancer research, his thoughts on expanding Medicaid in a unique way that Representative Lambeth and Murphy have filed a bill that we'll see how that goes. Representative Dollar said it's the start of a conversation. So I appreciated his point that the Obama administration wouldn't negotiate at all on how to expand. Just you do it this way and that's it. And so apparently the Trump administration may be open to some creativity there. We'll find out as we move along. And then Representative Dollar's thoughts on the budget, always welcome here. He said he hopes they have everything done by June. I'm not going to bank on that, but we'll see. We will see. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate Representative Nelson Dollar, and we appreciate you, of course, listening to What Matters in North Carolina. Tomorrow, we're going to talk with a very special guest, another member of the North Carolina House. And all I can say is you won't want to miss tomorrow's episode. My name is Mark Shiver. Thanks so much for listening to What Matters in North Carolina.